You're listening to Home Business Profits with Ray Higdon, where Ray shares tips and strategies for how to become a top earner in your company. Let's get into the episode.
Hey, 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 what is up? What's happening? What's going on? Hello, hello. Super excited for this. Really fired up. You know, every Thursday we've been doing these $1 million leader interviews, and today is going to be hot. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be so awesome and real excited about it. Heads up, we just announced just yesterday that we are doing something like super cool, man, super cool. We are on November 17th. We are doing the launch of our brand new book, Time, Money, Freedom with Hay House Publishing. And it is the 10 simple rules to redefine what's possible and radically reshape your life. We are doing a free 6-hour training, believe it or not, that you can share with your team. You can tell anybody about if you would like. And that's at higdongroup.com/launch. We have a few guest speakers that have very small but powerful segments in there. The majority is going to be a deep dive on millionaire mindset, on creating more freedom in your life, on having balance. We're going to have laser coaching, Q&A, and it's free. It's totally free to register at higdongroup.com/launch. And so check that out if you would like. And if you do not have a copy of the book yet, you can actually pre-order it at higdongroup.com/bonuses. And so let's get to what we are here for today, which is our next $1 million leader interview, which I am super excited about. I am going to bring on the Ann Fisher. Ann, what's going on?
Hello. How are you today?
Good. I mean, I love the contrast of the cool colors, the background. This is awesome.
That is Coco Chanel.
I don't know what that means.
It's my steer head that they said I needed. And I'm like, it's a steer head, but they said, but it has sparkles on it. And I said, okay, we're going to name her Coco Chanel, who's you know, the famous designer of Chanel. So
okay.
Coco Chanel, say hello to Coco Chanel.
I'm like, man, they make that brand? Like, wow, that's so wild. You named it Coco Chanel. Got it. I got
Everybody
it.
Needs a Coco it. Chanel.
I love it. So, Ann, you're a total rock star, and I appreciate, you know, I've seen you you've commented on some of our stuff in the past, and I know that you've been around some of our stuff, but you have created an absolute empire. For the few people on here, if any, please share your story. Like, how did you become so, first of all, a new question that I'm asking, because I want people to hear this, you could be successful in anything that you want. Why did you choose network marketing and how did that all happen? I'm curious as to your story.
Okay. Well, you know, I mean, I'm just an everyday mama, right? I got married right out of high school. We started a family. I didn't pursue a career. I didn't go to college. I just wanted to be a mom with a family. And as most households in America and the world over, you're always looking to make your family better, right? And so I was always like a home-based entrepreneur trying to find little ways to supplement income here and there, you know, some fun money. And I actually started a pretty lucrative little cottage industry out of my kitchen. And it grew and it grew, got really big.
What does that mean, cottage industry?
Cottage industry. You started in your little bitty house and it grows and gets bigger. But I actually had a candle company. So I made candles. It grew. I designed things for Extreme Makeover Home Edition. I was in stores across the United States, 5 other countries. And my business got super, super big. And I hated it because it wasn't my little cottage industry anymore. I wanted time with my family and it was just so much. And, you know, you think owning your business with a brick and mortar is the best thing. And it's so cool. And I loved it. But it took so much of my time away from my family. So we opted to sell.
I don't want to take you off track here, but yeah. I think most, so it sounds to me like you got your wish, like it blew up and it went and everything, but you ended up not liking that. How did you feel during that?
I was wearing 20 hats. I am an entrepreneur. I am not a CEO where you do everything. You're handling the financials, you're handling production, manufacturing, distribution, the sales. Like I was doing it all. And I'm like, I just wanted to make pretty candles and sell them, and this is too big. So we decided to sell. And in the sale of it, we were I always try to find the best way to say it gracefully, but the sale went south. There was a lot of embezzlement that happened. A lot of things happened that were not great. Left us holding a $600,000 debt ticket that I couldn't pay that off. My husband's a painting contractor. He couldn't, like, we were in deep doo-doo, man. And so we ended up doing a bankruptcy, but we did the kind that you can pay back as much to the debtors as you could. And so for 5 years of hell, we were in hell and rock bottom. We lost everything. My husband was working nights and weekends. I went back to doing candles part-time, but we, right in the middle of that, had our little girl. She was 3 months early, has special needs. And so I couldn't leave the house. I'm like, I was working from 11 at night till 4 in the morning. And then I'd come sleep for a couple hours until he got up and went to work. And then I was on shift with our little girl. And it just was, it was the most awful time of my life, just trying to keep the wolf from the door. We had no backup plan. We lost everything we had set back for retirement. We got to keep the house we were in. Thank God. I was driving the biggest clunker you've ever seen in your life, just praying that it would not break down somewhere crazy. And so we were just, I hated it. And it wasn't what I wanted at the age of 40 to find myself completely starting over. And I'm like, I got married out of high school. I have no college degree. I have nothing out. If I go get a job, I'm going to make $8 an hour. That will just pay for daycare. What am I going to do that I can do from home? Doesn't require a lot of inventory. Doesn't require a huge investment. And is something that I can develop my skills and learn how to do as good as anyone. And it was network marketing. I said yes to network marketing.
And how did you get introduced? I'm just curious.
Okay, I'll say this. I was a dabbler. Like, I was a dabbler. Eric Worre would call me, what is it, a poser. I always dabbled in network marketing. 6 other companies I did. I got in and I was going to do it. And I just never committed or had the mindset to really learn how to do it right. So I always said, that's just not for me. I don't know how to do that. I'm not one of those people. And so I played at it for 20 years. I believed in the success of the business model. I believed it was a great business model, but other people were just better at that than someone like me. And desperate times, man. And I'm like, literally, I have one or two options. I take the night shift somewhere and I will be a zombie and I will hate my life, or I dig in and figure out how to make this work. So I went looking for a company that I felt like I could partner with. I loved the product. The people, you know, all those things you look for when you're thinking who and this one and which one, found it, said yes, and everything changed, Ray. Everything changed. And somebody once told me I had the gift of desperation. I was desperate, so I had to make it happen. But when you decide and you get that mindset of, dude, it's like make it or break it. You have no choice. And that's where I was at. And that's what I decided. And so the day I said yes, that's the day I decided I have to be successful. We have no other option. We have no retirement. We have no health insurance. We have a rickety house that's falling apart. We're never going to be able to even fix the dang roof if something doesn't change. Wow. And so mindset, determination, deciding I'm going to dig in and I'm going to figure it out because I have no choice.
Wow.
And everything changed.
Yeah.
Everything changed.
Yeah. I mean, I appreciate you sharing all that. I mean, I hear you, you know, I understand. I mean, I was, in foreclosure, dead broke, you know, when I had that gift too. It didn't seem like a gift at the time.
Is it a gift, really? Do we really want to call it a gift?
Yeah. It was not a gift at the time.
No.
but looking back, you know, I had dabbled too, and I had, you know, I'd made some sales, but I didn't create anything meaningful in quite a few companies. Sounds very similar. So you make this decision. What did you actually do? Like, what was your daily routine like? Like, what made up your day to get to this amazing success that you've created?
Well, I really used the momentum. You know, when you first start, you're so like, oh, everything's great. I'm so excited. That passion that you had. I'm like, I got to harness this and really focus. And so I literally went on a recruiting blitz, because here's the truth. Out of all the skills you develop, and there's so many, and y'all are so great at developing the day-to-day skills, the steps, the effort, the work, but doing an all-out recruiting blitz, the most important skill you will learn is recruiting, because you are not in business, in this industry, without recruiting? For customers, for market partners, for connections, you're always recruiting. And so that's the first skill you need to develop. Of course, there's so many others, but that's the first one. And so that's what I worked on. And I sucked so bad. I was the worst recruiter. I'm just going to be honest. Like, it was the excitement and, oh my gosh, Ray, I have this new blah, 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 blah. And it's this and it's that. And it's going to be, and we're going to be so rich and we're going to do this and blah, blah, blah. And so for the first couple of days, I just dug myself in a hole with the vomit, you know, and yeah. It's like, okay, I got to calm down. Nobody is seeing this. Why is nobody seeing how incredible this is? And it's like, you got to stop. And so I sat down and I'm like, what do I want to tell people? What's important that they need to know about what I'm offering with my product and with my opportunity? So I jotted down just a couple bullet point things, put it on a piece of paper and put it in front of me. So when I sat down every day to start my connections, I just went from there. And if I kept it easy and I didn't think about it, I got really good at just saying those few things. And they were the most important things to me. And then I started changing it a little bit for, okay, who am I talking to here? Is this a single mom that needs extra money? Or is this a career person that's like on my chicken, I'm scared to death to talk to them list, but man, they'd be good. I'm going to tweak it a little bit. And so I started developing different ways to invite, but keeping it pretty basic. I think stupid simple is the best. And that's what I teach my team. Keep it stupid simple. And then daily effort. It's like with a diet or with a budget. It only works if you're consistent with it. And so the most important thing I did in the beginning was dove into how to recruit, develop that skill, and being consistent and showing up every day for it. I knew nothing about social media. I had like 600 followers on Instagram. I had maybe 200 on Facebook, and they were all my family, maybe a couple of high school friends. And so I didn't even know how to develop that platform, but I just knew that I had to reach out to everyone. And so every day for months, I was calling people, I was messaging them, I was doing everything I could, and I'm limited. I have to be home, so I don't get to go out and make those connections and network like a lot of people are able to do. But I focused on recruiting, and that is what started me building. And then I just had my people focus on recruiting. We'll figure the rest of it out, but you have to recruit.
So yeah, no, I appreciate you sharing that. So were you messaging people on Facebook, or were you calling people, emailing? Like, what was your main?
So here's the thing. You always reach out to your hot and warm market first. Like, that's usually where people start. These are my connections. These are the people I know. So I would go with, like, what's your preferred method of communication? Are you even going to look at a phone call? Right. I have people that will not answer the phone. They literally will not answer the phone. But if I text them, they'll respond like that.
Right.
So I kind of learned who's not responding. Maybe I need to call them. So I didn't know how to use Instagram. I don't even know if Messenger was a thing then on Instagram, but Facebook, text, and phone calls were that was it. That's what I did. And so I was calling them. If there's some, like one of my top leaders, she hates being on the phone. So I messaged her and I'm like, listen, we got to talk. And so she asked enough questions that she decided it was worthy of a phone call. Then she got on the phone with me, but you kind of have to learn what's the best way. And honestly, the best way is all of it. Like, you cover all the bases, right? Everybody's going to respond differently. So figure out their preferred method of communication and do that. But do them all. You don't want to leave money on the table. You don't want to leave any opportunity out there. You want to cover all the bases. So all the things. And now Instagram, Facebook, there's TikTok, there's so many different avenues that you can do it. But it comes back to the basics of recruiting. And you will never stop recruiting. If you stop recruiting, your business dies. There's no sitting still in this industry. You're either moving forward or you're moving backwards.
I love it. The two things I just love about what you said is, one, so just this morning, I had a client say, hey, I want to pitch this to the executives. What should the pitch be? And I said, tell me about the executives. You know, like, I want to know, who am I pitching? And I'm going to cater it to them. I love that you said that. A lot of people don't say that. They just said, all I said was this, no matter what. And so I love that. And number two, what was the second thing you said? I love the catering the pitch. I love that you said you got to keep recruiting. And because, sometimes you hear people say, you know what, I just recruited this many. I'm donezies. I'm in the hammock now. And not that that's not necessarily true. That does happen for some people. But, you know, for me, I always found that weird, is if you believe in your product or service, why would you stop? Like, you know, the heart surgeon doesn't say, you know, how many people I got to help, you know, or the pediatric. you know.
Good. I did my work.
Yeah, I'm got all done here. So well, I love
right,
that you
what said job? That. What job can you go out and get? Like if you go to Walmart and get a job right. and say, okay, so you know, I've put in 2 weeks, man. Like I was here every day. I was on time. I stocked the shelves. But I think I deserve a break. I feel like I'm gonna take some time off, but I'm gonna need you to pay me still because I did all that work. They would fire your butt and say, see ya. It never stops, right? I'm one of the top leaders in my company. Yes. And if I want to continue earning my income, you will always recruit. People will come and go. So you're always recruiting and onboarding and recruiting and onboarding. That never stops, even as a top leader. And you are like, it's a great industry. And I know you do a lot of work up front. You don't get paid for to get paid a lot more at the end that you don't do the work for, but there's still work to do. You can't just say I'm done ski. Like I'm set for the rest of my life because your organization needs you. And it's just like anything else. You have to keep doing the work. Yeah. Recruiting is the lifeblood of your business, whether you're just starting or you're top of the top.
I love it. And I love setting that expectation versus the other expectation.
Yeah.
Like too often it's, you know, you'll hear, all I did was this and then I'm good to go. And so they're setting that expectation. Now that may be true for them. You know, is that possible? Of course it's possible. It's unlikely, but it's possible. When someone would ask me, you know, well, how long till I'm making big money? I'd say, well, what if it took you 5 years? You got a chance to make big money in 5 years where you're at? No, you don't. And so I'd rather set the expectations of constantly doing that. So I know anytime we talk about anything, you'll get all these very specific questions, right? But one question is, how did you manage your recruiting? Did you say, okay, the next hour I'm going to be prospecting or I'm going to hit this number? Was there a number or a time or just fit it in every scenario? Like what was your mode?
That is such a great question. And I actually get asked that a lot for my people. And I will just say my first 90 days was a blitz. It was everybody. It was all hands on deck. It was all day, every day. My husband was reaching out to his people. I was reaching out to my people. And then I was helping my people reach out to people. And so it was literally a 90-day recruiting blitz. I didn't stop for the first year. Like there was not a set number where I have to talk to at least two people today. It was as many as I could talk to. Like, I mean, if you had 10 gold bricks that you were going to get to offer someone, right? And you knew the value of it, you would not stop. Like you would offer that all the time. You knew the opportunity you were giving somebody was priceless. How many people can you reach? It's not how many do I have to reach? It's how many people can I reach? And so for my first like 90 days, it was hardcore, like hundreds a day sometimes. And then some days it was 30 because life happened. Now I am more structured with it. And I have a daily method of operation. I set up my DMO. It's one of the first things I have my new people do is set up your DMO. How much time can you commit? Because the most important part of all that you will do is recruiting. And so that's got to be at the top. It's just when you do calendar blocking, like you got to block out the most important things. That's the daily thing that you have to do. And then your follow-ups and, you know, all the other things that go with it. But for me now, I cut aside a couple hours a day to work on that. And then social media.
So you, to this day, you set aside a couple hours a day to prospect?
Yes.
That's impressive.
Yes.
That's impressive. You are definitely one of the few leaders I've met at your level that still does multiple hours a day of prospecting. Yes. That's impressive.
Yes, it happens. I mean, yesterday we had a funeral to go to, so it didn't happen yesterday. But for the most part, at least 5 days out of your week, you got to work on it, man. Your business is going to slip away from you if you're not watching because people will come and go. This is always a building and rebuilding situation, building and rebuilding. And that's not a bad thing. That's setting that expectation up front for people so they know this is your work. Like if you were going to go get a full-time job and somebody was paying you, like how much effort are you going to put into it? So it's not just all fun and, ooh, I was on social media today and I made a post. There's work there. There's actual work that you have to do. So it's one of the most important things I set the expectation for in the beginning. And it's one thing I'm always working on getting better at, always working on developing that skill.
Now you talked earlier, I love it. You talked earlier about you cater the message depending on who you're messaging and what you think they like or where they're at, which I love. I'm curious, and if you are asking, it sounds like you prospect on Instagram and Facebook. Mm-hmm. Is there a big difference there in your approach? Is it similar or?
Not necessarily between Facebook and Instagram. I would say Facebook are more of my personals. Like those are more people. I think Instagram, it's more of the world is at your fingertips. So that is done. There's different ways to do that through, you know, pull marketing, and you got your push marketing where you're actually prospecting, but then you have people that come to you when you set your social media up the right way. That's a training for another day. But Instagram holds a big part of my focus, and I'm really working on developing my TikTok. I still haven't figured the tickety talk out, Ray. And if you know all the things, just tell me, because I'm trying to learn it. But a big part of my focus is Instagram. And here's one thing. There's one book that I read back when I first got started with the company I'm with, and it's The Four Color Personalities of MLM by Big Al Schrider. And I know you do a lot of, you guys do a lot of intensive training on all of that, but this book is a simple read, and sure, it just sets the basics in your mind of, okay, this is this type of person. You're going to talk to them a little bit differently, because telling someone that wants to save the whales, you don't want to tell them they're going to come earn a Ferrari. They don't care. And you don't want to tell a housewife who's just looking to buy groceries for her kids that she can go to Istanbul. Like that is not on the radar for her. So you have to understand, and it just kind of, it's really exaggerated, but it just gives you some basics of, okay, identifying how they are, who they are, and what you're going to say. So maybe four different invitations that are basic. I am super, keep it stupid simple. Like the invitation, you're just asking people to take a look. It doesn't have to be this big polished advertisement.
Sure.
People know you. Keep it real. I'm all about keeping it super real.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. It's awesome. Great book. I mean, there's so many books on that. But I do like that book. Anytime we talk about personality types, the one thing that I throw out there is learning the personality types isn't for you to change to what you think is the best. Cause sometimes people are like, oh man, I'm a yellow, damn it. How do I be more red? It's like, no, you don't have to be more red. You just have to be able to speak to a red if you're going to speak. And you know, it's like, your examples were absolutely perfect. Sometimes red hard chargers, they get mad when someone wants to do their research, but they're a green. You telling them not to do research ain't going to work. It's just not going to work. I love it. It's just so, so awesome. Okay. So what kind of advice might you have for someone on here that has been at it for a while? They've been, you know, fighting and biting. They're just not getting results. They're sending out all kinds of messages. You've given tons of advice so far, but what would be like, is there one main point that you're like, okay, you just got to do this. Just do this.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I will say this. Let me see your calendar. Because everybody says, I'm doing it. I'm doing all the things. And I get people that literally on the daily, people I don't even know from other organizations. What do I got to do? Okay. So if you're stuck, if you feel like you're in a rut or you're doing the things, you got to analyze it. If it's not working, it's not working. So we need to look at what your conversation is, what your follow-up is, what your invitation is. How are you approaching them? There's a few things you need to look at, but also the cure to what ails everyone is activity. So if you're putting in an hour a day or 30 minutes a day and that's not enough, then you got to up your game, right? If it's not working, something needs to shift. And it doesn't mean you have to completely throw everything out you're doing and do something new. It just means let's look at what you're doing. Let's maybe, because I mean, you're the master of conversation and scripting. Like Ray is one of the best when it comes to scripting and stuff. And I love that because so many people just want to know what to say. So always at the heart of it, keep it stupid simple, but look at what you're saying. What are you saying to these people? How are you approaching them? Are you a Pamela Anderson, or are you not giving them enough information, or are you vomiting on them? Like you have to look at what you're doing, and then consistency, guys. And 9 times out of 10, when people say, I can't do it and it's not working, and I don't know what's happening, let me see your calendar. How many people are you talking to a day? How many opportunities are you presenting a day? How many opportunities are you getting on? Have you plugged into your team schedule? Have you plugged into the routine and the system? 9 times out of 10, they haven't. So if they have and they're genuinely doing the work, then we just need to shift a couple things. And it may just be your language. And go to the scripts, man. Go check out the scripts, because the scripts work. The scripts work.
Awesome. Yeah. And anytime we talk about spam, I give at least our definition. So our definition of spam is assuming the position of the prospect without any evidence.
Yes.
So if you guy walks up to the girl at the hotel bar and says, I got a room upstairs, without knowing anything, not saying that'll never work, but probably want to say, are you here with someone? Can I buy you a drink? And so assuming the position of the prospect without any evidence is when people send a link and said, hey, check this out. Or they tell them, this will be awesome for you. You don't know if it'll be awesome for them. You don't know if they're looking. You don't know if they'll be awesome. You don't know if they have any interest. And so just not assuming, you know, are you open? If they're open, next step. You know, they're not ready to join yet. They need more information. Get them information. Next step. And so, no, that's awesome. I really appreciate that. If you're in RankMakers, we have tons of training on personality type scripting and everything. It's in the units tab. But Anne, this is so amazing. This is so awesome. Good luck on your Christmas decorating. Hopefully Graham didn't scream too loud. He had one loud one there.
Well, we had like, I feel like they were taking out a wall. It sounded like a jackhammer. So I'm like, I'm sorry. It is what it is.
No, this is so valuable. And I don't know if you can see the comments, but everyone's saying how valuable this was. Thank you so much for sharing. So, so valuable. So awesome. And just congratulations. Congrats on your success. And really, really amazing. Really awesome.
Thank you, Ray. And thank you so much for inviting me. I felt that I was like, Ray Higdon wants to interview me. I feel so honored. We had a lot of people from my organization in your Rank Makers. I know a lot of people follow the system and it works. So honored to be here. Honored to share my story. I hope some, you know, tips and tricks help you guys add to what you're already learning, which is incredible. And Ray, I'm a huge fan. You're awesome. I got to tell you guys, Ray spoke at one of our, like our biggest convention, one of our first big, big conventions. And Mr. Fisher, my husband, was there and he's like, I don't know who he is, but he cracks me up and I get what he's saying. It's like, he was really, really good. So we love to hear you speak and absolutely love what you're doing. It's incredible. You're helping so, so many people. So thanks for allowing me to be a little part of what you got going on here.
Absolutely. And anytime I can help or contribute, I'm here for you.
Well, so, I just may take you up on that, Ray Higdon.
Please do. Give her a hand, Ann Fisher, amazing, with Coco Chanel in the back. And so appreciate you. Have an awesome day. Thank you, guys. Thanks for tuning in.
Thank you for listening to Home Business Profits with Ray Higdon. And be sure to head over to rayhigdon.com/profits to download your free audio where Ray shares his 29 sources of network marketing leads. Tune in next time for more tips and strategies on how to become a top earner in your company.
And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
That doesn't sound good.
Paper shredder's jammed, but I think I fixed it.
Oh, well, try shredding these $50 bills then.
Seems like it's working.
Better try another $400.
Instead of using money, use regular paper. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.